Here's what the Lord spoke to me during my time of time of prayer. He said, America, you live life as though it's a game, a competition to gain, to store, and to hold on to. But you have no idea how slippery your path is and how weak your grasp on these things. You count your items of gain as trophies and achievements, but your work is in vain. For the idols of this world have no power to save you, nor serve to satisfy. They still and always will lead you to true poverty. America, you are bankrupt, void of true treasures, void of truth. Your foundations are corrupt. How shall you stand? My church has been playing the whore, masquerading and playing the part. Her fall is coming. The rebuilding of my church for the final stretch is upon you. You must choose between new wine and new wineskins and old wine and weary and worn wineskins that will never hold up to what is coming on the earth. Choose wisely. Very powerful words from the Lord. I ask that you take them to the Lord in prayer as always, and ask the Lord to confirm these things to you as He's speaking not only to the church, speaking to the nation. Again, when God speaks prophetically to a country such as America, there is no difference between the government and the church, because both claim in God we trust. Both act as though they have an allegiance to the throne of God, but yet by actions, that's not so. And God is not a God of hypocrisy. He is a God of truth. He is a God of absolutes. He is a God that is exact. The Bible declares that every hair upon your head and upon my head has been numbered. He's fully aware of the sparrows. He's fully aware of all things in creation, but yet we act as though God doesn't see, nor does He comprehend the totality of humanity, but He does. And something else that God is keenly aware of is commitments and vows of the mouth. Things that are said by politicians and governments and churches and people. He's fully aware of those who say, "I love you, Lord," but yet their heart is far from Him. And so this morning it's a two-edged sword and a dual assignment for me. And I ask for you to just hang with me over the next couple days as we... Somebody just swallowed their... Never mind, let me move forward. As we spend this time together, because it's imperative as God continues to do heart surgery on the body of Christ. I truly believe this is the time, like never before, where there must be heart surgery in the house of God. We have too much hype and too much fluff and too many prophetic pillows to lay upon and all kinds of goofiness in the house of God. And we have people that are just so far from the reality of what God wants to do in them and through them, because they don't get into the Word of God. They don't allow the Word of God to get into them. They don't spend time in His presence, but they're always looking for something new, and they're looking for something that will tingle them and scratch their ears and bring them to this place of revelation. Because I want you to know something, just because you are moving doesn't mean it's progress. Just because there's flapping of the gums and the waving of the hands and the sounds of music in the house of God doesn't mean that the church inside is progressing as it should. You'll know when you're progressing when your relationship with God becomes second to none. When you begin to recognize and realize you ain't the same person you used to be, that your life is being change, that the fruit of the Spirit is now being evidenced. You're not saying what you used to say. You're not thinking the way you used to think. You're not going to the places you used to go to. Your life is changed supernaturally. That is true motion. That is true progress. But we don't have that today in the church because we can't find fathers who are willing to set folks down and tell them the truth, to tell them what the Bible says, and to tell them what the Word of God says, because they would rather have their prophetic fortune cookies. I'm about to bust out of this suit today. We have our prophetic fortune tellers and all these things that we're always looking for something new prophetically, when there is so much information in this Bible that you and I have yet to achieve, that you and I still don't understand. There's scriptures we still don't understand, but you get on a YouTube channel and trying to have them dictate to you and translate to you the mysteries of the universe, and they don't even know what's going on themselves. Is anybody here today? And as you can tell by the introduction this morning and just the theme of our prayers this morning, there's a whole lot of goofiness going on in the house of God. And God is going to deal with the church. It doesn't have to be blatant sin of pornography and fornication and adultery. No, it can be the playing of the whore through the worshiping of prophetic things and going after false idols and going after things that don't belong and pertain to you at this particular moment of life and of ministry and of prophetic significance. What are you saying? I'm saying that people are looking to others for answers, and that is idolatry. You look to the Word of God for your answers. You don't go to my YouTube channel for answers. You go to that Bible for your answers. You go to God Almighty by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you can't find it, then say, Lord, help me to understand. Because we got some messed up, goofy people in the house of God. I'm just going to be plain today. Is that all right? I'm just going to be plain today. And I love you. Tell me you love me. So you can't be mad. So you have to put your crown back on your horns and straighten yourself up today, man. It's what's needed in the house of God, because I am disturbed by what I see in the church. I really am. I'm disturbed. I'm disturbed as a pastor, and I've had time to reflect on some of the things and the actions of people and the ideologies and the philosophies of people who say that they're believers, but they don't know this Bible. I'm not telling you you've got to quote and memorize the entire Old Testament, including Leviticus, to get into heaven. We're all in trouble. I heard somebody say one time, he said, well, you need to know Hebrew to make it to heaven. Who? Hebrew who? This person was shot out, and I was like, there ain't no way I'm going to make it. You know, just kill me now. No, God isn't putting on us restraints and putting on us heavy burdens. But what he is doing is he's bringing the church of Jesus Christ back to basic Bible understanding and not Babylonian babble stuff and craziness that is out there and fables of men. I'm disturbed today, and I'm trying to stay as cool and calm as possible, but the Father inside of me just wants to come out and just bring the body to a place of understanding that God wants to do something new in the house. He wants to do something new inside of the church of Jesus Christ. There is a rebuilding coming to the body of Christ, but there's also a fall coming. A greater fall is coming to the church. Not just leaders, but the structure of the church. And it will not be replaced with these YouTube people and all these others that are out there. I'm telling you, their days are numbered as well. I'm talking about God bringing sound doctrine back to the church through the fivefold ministry, people to whom he has called and has chosen to bring forth truth in power, love, and transparency. I'm telling you, it's coming. It is coming. It is coming. It is coming. Why? Because deception is rampant in the house of God. I've never seen it in this level before. Jennifer and I had some time as we were away just speaking of these things and looking at life in general and the emails and the information that I get flooded with and she receives of people's doctrines and what they believe about the Bible is absolute insanity. And these are people that some of you know of in the YouTube world, in the cyber world, in social media. It is absolutely crazy. And when they speak, it is as though it's gospel. When it is absolutely contrary to the Word of God. You may be asking, what's the title of this message? Come on, Pastor, please tell me. The title of this message is just kind of odd the way he spoke to me this morning. He said it's called the Carnival Church. And you know, I mean, my relationship with God's different than yours, and I would never compare. You got an awesome relationship with him, and he just talks to me the way he does. But he said the Carnival Church, and I'm like, the Carnival Church? Okay, yeah, okay. Well, that's one of my least favorite places to go to. It's a carnival. I'm usually the one that the carnies holler at to come throw something. They always, you know, they always pick on somebody, you know, and they want you to throw a ball and get the big stuffed bear that you never get. Yeah, they always pick on me. And so I throw that thing as hard as I possibly can, miss it. And there goes my $5. And they laugh. And so I kind of understand the carnival and the understanding of the carnival church. But what I didn't understand is I went into some research about this, and actually the word carnival comes from a Western Christian festive season right before Lent. I had no idea. I had no idea it was birthed out from the church. The whole ideal of a carnival. And again, it was right before Lent, and the main events typically occurred during February or early March. And listen to this, carnivals typically involve public celebrations, including events such as parades and public street parties and other entertainments, combining some elements of circus. Let me read that again. Containing some elements of a circus. Elaborate costumes and masks allow people to set aside their everyday individuality and experience a heightened sense of social unity. Sounds like the church, doesn't it? Come on now. Sounds like the church where you put on your church mask and you come in the house of God and act like you are somebody that you're not. And they parade and they have a party and it goes on. And if you care to research it, it's very interesting how these carnivals are surrounded by food and indulgence and even alcohol in order to get ready for Lent. In other words, you pump it all in so you can repent for Lent. Yeah, y'all catch me later. I mean, and that is, again, a great example of how the church acts, the carnival church. And so I love the Lord's sense of humor in the fact of his titles and how he puts this thing together. Go to Hosea chapter 10. Is this all right? Hosea chapter 10, the carnival church. Yeah. Again, I'm not a big fan of carnivals. I don't like getting on the rides. Let me try that again. I used to like getting on when I was younger. But then when I found out what that tattoo on the guy's arm was, them numbers weren't his Social Security. y'all catch that later. And he's the one that's in control of the throttle? Nah, I'm all right. The carnal church. Hosea chapter 10, verse 1. Now I began my introduction, this message dealing with the absolute insanity that is happening in the church. And I know people say, well, give me some examples, and I might through this teaching. But here's the problem with me giving examples is it takes away from your ability to be mature and to discern what's right and what's wrong. I'll give you an example. People will send to me an article that is only found on the back pages of social media. I won't go into specifics, but they'll say, and it's exclusive, that their contact and that their source has found this out, and it becomes patented Christian truth. And like a wildfire, it goes throughout the internet, and then people begin to send it to their families, and they begin to go on and on about it. And like taffy, it gets larger and stickier. When it took me less than 30 seconds to back research and find out that the information was from QAnon, that came from a very unreliable source, that is a source of deception and lies, but yet mainstream Christians are sitting there on their phones passing it to each other saying, oh my God, did you hear? Listen to me. You do not have time to waste your life on conspiracy and stupid stuff. You don't have time. You don't have physical time in your body. We don't have time on the shot clock. We don't have time prophetically to be following after these little unicorns that are going through the fields, and everybody's frolicking and running after them, trying to catch them. Are you here? And it as a pastor, it concerns me greatly. Can I just talk as a father today? It concerns me greatly, and it wearies me. Because I teach and I train and I tell you the truth and I preach and I teach and I bring you scripture. I give you line upon line, and there's people who still believe what they want to believe. They still believe the conspiracies and they won't follow the Bible. And for the life of me, I don't understand you. I don't understand your Christianity. I don't understand your lifestyle. What in the world are you doing? doing that you have to have two worlds to get your information from. Find it in the Word of God. And if it don't make sense, get rid of it and delete it. And don't follow after this, because it'll put you in an early grave. It will make you sick in your stomach. It'll make you nervous. It will mess you up. And as a pastor, I'm deeply concerned. I'm deeply concerned. And it's not because I want everybody to see it my way. You're going to see things totally different than I see things. But one thing you can't see different than me is truth. Truth is truth. What it is, it is. And if it's scripture, it's there. And if there's some type of interpretation that differs, that's one thing. But to follow after these things, and we wonder why our families won't follow us. We wonder why they think you're a nuthead. I'm just going to be me. I've been chasing Tom Turkey, so I'm looking for some humans. My little squawk box, gobble, gobble, gobble. That was awesome. Huh? Listen. It's insanity. And you tell them, and you train them, and you lead them in the path that they should go, and people are freaking out over nonsense. No different than the vaccine, no different than what's happening today. Everybody call it the mark of the beast. It is not the mark of the beast. It is not. It is a precursor. We are in precursor prophetic previews. Absolutely. But it is not. Because if it's the mark, they're doing a terrible job at it. Boy, God, Who wrote this? Not Pfizer. Not Johnson & Johnson. God wrote it, and he wrote it absolute. And he said, this is what would happen. This would be the content in which it would take place. This is the whole environment, and this is the time frame. And you want to tell God what time it is now? And I'm telling you, it is needless, reckless craziness that's going on in the church, and you're messing people up. People constantly, what's your view? Which I've already given my view. I do not sit there and harp on things that God doesn't put in my heart to speak on. I've got other things to do. Like what, preacher? Get people saved. Get them filled with the Holy Ghost. Get them out of your crazy doctrine. Listen, the vaccine cannot damn you. Now, that went over like a lead balloon, because the majority of the people, I'm just going to be myself. I don't care. We get in a fist fight, we'll go right outside. I don't want to break nothing in here. It will not damn you. It cannot damn you. Well, how do you know, preacher? Because there's nothing in this universe that can damn man but man. Even the devil can't damn man. Man is the one that makes the final decision. And if the devil had that much power with a needle, then why didn't he do it back in the polo in 1950s, the epidemic? Why didn't he do it before? Why didn't they put it inside your water? Why don't they put it inside of your biscuits? They're going to put trust in a system that the majority of the folks don't want. God isn't going to allow that to happen. Listen to me. And I know what I'm talking. I can feel the resistance right now. And I love this. Because I know I'm on the money. It's the carnival church. Anything to have the bearded lady come out. Anything to have entertainment. Anything to have the big red-nosed clown to come out. And get everybody mesmerized and all the magic show. Instead of focusing on the gospel of Jesus Christ. scaring the literal H-E double hockey sticks out of old people and out of people. Listen, I'm telling you, it's a matter of conscience. Would you take it? No, I would not take it. I don't want nothing. I don't even want an aspirin, but I'll take the aspirin if I had to. Come on, somebody. There is no power in the devil to damn somebody. There's no power in man's ability to damn another man. There's no power. Then you are telling me that power is greater than the blood and the cross. In the mark of the beast, it has everything to do with worship. It has everything to do with rejecting Christ. It has everything with bowing the knee and giving your life and your soul over to the enemy. And if you want to be real about it, find out in context when the mark of the beast is. And that's when men begin to raise their hands to heaven and curse God, and they can't find death. That ain't happening right now. You got people that are out there that are thinking that in their body is a time bomb and they're going to die. I will prophesy to you, they will not die as you say that they will. They'll die as they're supposed to die, but they're not going to die because of a diabolical plan by the devil. Enough of this. It is absolutely hooey. It is ridiculous. It's hocus pocus manure. And it needs to stop in the house of God. I have to do it this way. Is it bad? Bad, bad, bad. Yes, bad. Don't do it. You have to. Bad, bad, bad. Good, good, good. God, God, God. Devil, devil, devil. You do. I'm sorry. I do. I have to get the blocks out. We have to spell with blocks now. Because, reason I'm telling you this is because I've had people who have been in the church who look like they're Christians. They look like they're totally got everything in order. You know, they're saved and all this. And literally look at me in the face and say, I don't care basically what the Bible says. I know what my heart says. When I heard that, I had it up to here. I almost blew a top. I wanted to scream and pull the rest of my hair out and say, oh my goodness, you mean to tell me your heart is above the word of God? Your heart is deceitful. The heart of man is deceitful. And tell me, I believe it is the mark of the beast. It is not the mark of the beast. Well, I believe it is in my heart. Well, I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky in an airplane flow. There's just certain things I can't do. I can't do a backflip. But if you shut your eyes, I'll show you I can. Is anybody got a brain here today? I'm not saying that there isn't bad stuff in it. I'm not saying anything about the ethical part about it. Absolutely in this, in that. But the absolute insanity that is out there that is paralyzing the church. And then somebody tells me, well, this is what the person said. They said it's the mark of the beast. I said, no, it's not. Well, yes, it is. I said, how do you know? I believe it in my heart. I said, then what are you going to do to witness to them? I said, they're damned. Now watch this now.
They're damned, right?
All these people are damned. All these 100 and some odd million people, wherever they are, here in America, around the world, they're damned, right? Talk to me, church. Is that what you hear on the internet? They're damned? Well, how are we going to witness the damned people? Okay, now let me ask you a question. Do they come up with a tag that says, hi, I'm damned? I'm just trying to understand your theology. Just help me out now. I'm not as smart as you. I went to public school and I drank public water most of my life and I brushed with fluoride. And I still got cavities. Huh? So if they're damned, how do I know they're damned? Do they glow? They got to have the mark. So how do I know? How do I know they got a mark? Well, it's getting an affection point. People are getting affection. Come on, man. Roll up your sleeve. I need a witness to you. No, you're damned. So who do we minister to? How do we minister? Where did Jesus put the provision for that? I don't know. Help me out, Brother Ronnie. I'm looking for it in the book of Mark. I'm looking for it in Matthew. I don't know. Is there an appendix somewhere in the Bible I don't know about? Is there a subfolder, subchapter that shows me how to witness to damned people? Is anybody here? Do you see how ludicrous this is? But nobody will challenge anybody. Nobody will say anything at the carnival church because we're having fun. We got monkeys and rabbits and loop the loop. Shirley Temple, in case you don't know your history. And I said to them, I said, what do I do? Well, we got to minister to them. That's what the person told me. Well, I don't understand how to minister to damn people. I don't get it. Do you understand this? In the book of Revelation chapter 13 and other places where it talks about the mark of the beast, you ain't witnessing to them. It's over. They are toast. It is done. We're not talking about getting the ouchie on the side of the arm or bleeding or clots or even death. We're not talking about them things because death escapes them. They can't even find it. But now we've got articles going out there that hundreds of millions of people are just going to pop up dead. Now you're messing me up theologically because I thought God was going to do a bunch of killing in the book of Revelation. Man, Pfizer beat God. Oh, that Bill Gates is sharp. He beat God again. Come on now. What about wormwood? What about all the things that the Bible says? And by the way, the book of Revelation is a book of depopulation. It talks about many, many, many millions of people into the billions checking out. Well, if we got a bunch of people dying beforehand, man, that was God just jumped the gun on that one. You'll see, Pastor. No, I won't see. They'll die because they're going to die. They'll die because of their destiny if it is time for them to die. So now I don't know what to do. Do I continue my disaster relief program over here? Because I sure don't want to give food away to somebody that's damned. What do I do? Can anybody see the light of this? It's a carnival church. It's getting out of hand, this entertainment. It's dangerous. Did you not learn from Trump? Did you not learn from all of the craziness, all the stuff we went through on both sides of the aisle, from the insurrection to, did you not learn enough is enough to shut off the conspiracies and get back to Bible basics and follow the pattern of the Word of God? Did you not learn? I learned. I had enough of it. Absolutely enough of it. Especially when somebody looks at me in the eyes and say that in their heart they've got knowledge above the Word. That is dangerous. Are you still in Hosea? Where have you been? Watch this. The Carnival Church. Hosea chapter 10, verse 1. Israel is an empty vine. Interesting statement. It's an empty vine. What does that mean? It means that it has a bunch of leaves, but no fruit. It has the outward appearance of being fruitful, but it has no produce to God. In other words, Israel was religious and their outward appearances, but they didn't bring righteousness to God. They didn't bring substance to God. And in the carnival church in America today, and literally around the world, we have this form of godliness, but we deny the power thereof. We look as though we're in holiness and righteousness, but we're not producing the fruit thereof and the depth of truth. In other words, it is carnal and it is shallow. It's substance on the outside at best. And how can the world trust a church that has misunderstandings of prophetic revelation and misunderstandings of Scripture? How can they trust us with the eternal value of their soul and eternal destination and prophetic reality if we're out there passing out this crazy conspiracies and the QAnon craziness that is out there? How will they ever trust the church? That's why they are not trusting the church, and they're going to fortune tellers, and they're going to New Age, and they're going to progressive Christianity and Satanism, and they're leaving the church by the droves because it is an absolute carnival atmosphere in the house of God. And you can't find people being serious and truthful to the Word of God. You can't find them to be the Bereans that they're supposed to be.
That's right.
I heard more conspiracies over the last 4 years, excuse me, I think, that I've heard in years. And it's done nothing but damage the body. It's damaged people. It has caused us to be at odds with one another.
Yeah.
How many of you have family members that are at odds with you over these past few years because of something to do with conspiracy? Not the Bible.
Right.
Conspiracy.
That's right.
The majority of the people have. And you know, some of our families, we'll never get them back. We'll never get them back. So Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. In other words, the fruit is for the selfishness, but not for God. In other words, I'm doing this for my promotion. I'm doing this for my self-gain according to the multitude of his fruit. He hath increased the altars according to the goodness of his land. They have made goodly images. Here's what it means. That the more they prospered, the more they went after idols. The more the church, listen to me now. This is why I believe, and people don't like to hear this, this is why I believe judgment must come to the house of God. Because the wealthier the church has gotten, bigger buildings, more property, more money, polished preachers, assets, come on, political standing, promotion, The more that we have grown financially, the further we have gone from this truth. The further we have been blessed, we have left gospel truth. We've left common sense. We've left discernment. We left Holy Ghost prayer. And now we trust the click of a button. We trust the guy in front of the camera. We trust the information coming on our iPads. Instead of going to the source and studying and being a Berean and asking the Holy Ghost, is this true? And then be critical and think about it. Like I said earlier about the vaccine, think about it. There's no provision then. What do we do now? How do we evangelize? How do we live? How do we pray? How do I visit my neighbor? How can I visit the sick and clothe the naked? How can I take care of the people who are hungry? What do I do? Because now I have to racially profile them, if you will, through a vaccine. I have to now medically profile them. How's that? This isn't the Holocaust, where they were identified. Come on, somebody. The Star of David. Anybody remember? So now my whole, the whole church is kicked off of its access, off of its focus. Because now again we're chasing unicorns and little leotards. I'm trying to be gentle, man. I really am. But the church needs to get over daddy's knee. Yes, amen. Amen. And needs to whop him. Yes. It needs a pow-pow. Yes. Not a timeout. No. It needs a good old whipping. Yes. Yes. And bring us back to common sense. Yes. These are precursors. These are things to get us conformed. Absolutely. But Jesus warned us. When he warned that there would be pestilence, did he leave anything in there for provision of how to witness? Did he say anything about this? That during these times of pestilence, you can't witness to these people or those people? No. But Sherlock on YouTube's got the answer. Mr. Sherlock and Mr. Holmes trumps the word of God. And you believe it. That's what scares me about you. Whoever you are. It scares me. Because then I wonder, man, will you be there in the time of trouble for me? Can I really trust you? When these things really, really start to be revealed in the last days, you're going to be one of the first to jump out of a building. God forbid. Why? Because you think this is nothing but the horsemen or the footmen. The horsemen are coming. This is the light stuff. And you got people panicking now. I hope when tribulation comes and the totality of it comes that the internet's dead by then. I really do. That's where I am, Brother Ronnie. I'm at the point where I'm just hoping that this system of goofiness will be cut out by then. I do. Well, when are they going to find the truth then? The Bible. Got to get his servants out there and preach the gospel. Are you in verse 2? Come on, I got to hurry up. You're taking my time. Their heart is what? is divided. You can't serve both truth and conspiracy. You can't. You can't. And there are people that are doing that right now, that are using portions of Scripture and QAnon conspiracy, and they're putting it together, and they know they're lying to you because they know you won't go research it. And to me, the harm is great, because what that does is that pollutes your discernment. It pollutes your understanding. It dulls your senses. And the devil knows it. Then he has you. Then he has you. How do I know that? Because the Bible says that there are those that will follow after every wind of doctrine. If it can get you with a little bit of conspiracy, they can breathe on you a wind of some type of deception and confuse you even deeper. Their heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty. When your heart is divided, you are faulty. Anybody knows anything about breakers? It's very dangerous to have a faulty breaker in your house. You better make sure that breaker works. You better make sure that connection is proper, because you can't have the lines frayed. You can't have them divided. You can't have something out of order when you're dealing with electricity. So it is with truth. You must be rooted and grounded in Bible basics. And for the life of me, I don't understand what has happened to the church that just can't fall in love with the Bible anymore, that just can't fall in love with Jesus anymore. Why do you have to have the latest and the greatest conspiracy? I don't understand you. I'm serious. I don't understand what's happened to the church other than what the Lord is showing me. There is a fall coming and a rebuilding of the church because folks are faulty. They're living this divided lifestyle. A double-minded man is unstable in all his way. Where there is confusion, there's every evil work. It matters. I will not entertain things that are sent to me. All I have to do is read the headline of what is in the email box, and I'll tell you right now, it goes delete. I will not waste my time on stupidity. I'm not. And I'm not going to get up in the pulpit and regurgitate junk that is out there. I'm not. Well, don't you know, there's a something happened the other day, and there were some initials that tied together. If you put them together, they make 666, and with the remainder of one. And Saturn lined up with Jupiter. And it's insanity. Watch this. I need to get out of here. Watch this. And he shall break down their altars, and he shall spoil their images. You say, well, Pastor, I don't have an altar. You do have an altar, and you have a choice. On that altar, is there going to be truth? On that altar, is there going to be the Word of God? Or is there going to be idolatry? Is there going to be conspiracy? Is there going to be disinformation and misinformation? Some people don't have enough discernment to understand that the devil is sowing these things into the church to keep people distracted. They're distracted. They're fearful. They're worried. What do I do? Well, how do I pray? Who do I witness to? All of these things become idolatry because they remove from our hearts the focus of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Great Commission. The Great Commission did not stop or get paralyzed with the pandemic. The Great Commission did not stop because of a vaccine. Go you to all the world and preach the gospel only to those not vaccinated. Man, I missed that one. Shoot. Do you understand this? But I'm going to get letters. I'm going to be castigated. I know that. I know it. Pin the tail on the donkey. It's coming. I know it. But I got big shoulders. I'll handle it. And I'll lose people. And I'm fine with that. I hate it. But if you got to go, bye. Bye. You one less goofy person I got to deal with. Because you ain't going to listen to me. I'm telling you, when that was told to my face, after I've spent time teaching and training and leading in the gospel way, and I've shown line upon line and precept upon precept, and you still deny the truth, I don't have time for you. I got to focus on the church. I got to focus on the plan of God. I'm going to preach this gospel to every single living soul on this earth. I don't care where they are or where they're from. I don't care their money. I don't care if they're poor. I don't care if they're black. I don't care if they're white. I don't care if they're a zebra. Because I do not have the right or the ability to discern or to separate or to castigate or do anything of separation. I am not a divider and I am not the judge. And you surely do not have the power to damn somebody. Let me ask you another question real quick, Sherlock, before we get out of here. The person who took the vaccine because they have dementia or they're handicapped, an almighty merciful God will damn them. Your theology is from hell. Your father will never allow that to happen. Somebody who loves God, who loved them for 60 years as a Sunday school teacher, ended up in some type of healthcare facility and was forced to take the vaccine, or some of our soldiers in the VA system, and they're damned. You self-righteous, pious, whatever. I'm done with you. We need to get back to Bible basics. Preaching and loving people. And forget this stuff. It ain't nothing but hoodoo voodoo. It's insanity. My heart breaks when I think about the multiplied millions of people that have no choice. So now you're going to tell me, I know you will, Mr. Sherlock, you're going to tell me, well, God will be merciful and blah, blah, blah. So, man, you just make the rules up as you go. No, I'm not going to go to your rules. I'm going to go to the Bible. I'm going to go to the law first mentioned, and I'm going to follow the pattern of my Father's heart. And my Father is a good God. And the Bible declares that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if they've lost their mind through age or through accident, they are not damned involuntarily. I've had people that I have ministered to who were so afraid because of their grandparents lying up in a facility somewhere. And they heard from YouTube people who have zero knowledge. They heard that they heard that they heard that they heard. They didn't even pass first aid in high school. They couldn't put a Band-Aid on a porcupine. And they're going to play doctor with you. Again, I got to say bad, bad, bad. Because I know someone's going to snip it. They're going to say, oh, he said, I didn't say. I understand. But you ain't going to scare all these people needlessly. Thinking grandma's going to split hell wide open, serve God all those years. What can separate us from the love of God? Nothing. Nothing. Only man can separate himself from God. Only man. The strongest to the sovereignty of the will of God is the will of man. I could accept Jesus Christ and be saved, or I could reject him and be damned. My will overrides his. Not a shot. Somebody says, well, you put the trust in the beast system. Folks, every time you get on that highway, you put your trust in that beast system. You trust them beasts down there in Detroit who built that thing. Ronnie knows one time he drove a truck most of his life. When you hit brake, you hope brake worked. You hope the guy that made the stop sign could spell and wasn't colorblind. Come on, church. You put that vitamin in your body, I've heard it all. I've heard it all. I'm just telling you. We're living in a carnival atmosphere in the church. I gotta go. Finally, it says, for now they shall say, we have no king, because we feared not the Lord. What then should a king do to us? In other words, they didn't have a government they could trust. They didn't have people over them in authority they could trust, because they broke their covenants. And that's what the carnival church has today, has people that we can't trust to tell us the truth and to be honest and to use critical thinking. And I only gave you a thimbleful of my argument concerning all this craziness. But I will stand with Scripture before I stand with conspiracy and what these clowns have to say in the carnival church. If you're watching me right now and you don't know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, today's the day to get it right with Him. He loves you with an amazing love. And all you have to do is call upon His name and you shall be saved. If you're backslidden, come on, make the day right and end it with getting back into the family of God, getting back into the house of God, because He loves you with an amazing love. Amazing love. Father, thank you for this message today. Help us to be Bereans. Like in the book of Acts, where we study, we pray, and we discern, and we know that you'll lead us into all truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, I love you. I'll see you Wednesday, Revelation Road.